Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple guys. Hey, this is Shane Van Hart, Brian Meyer. Welcome back. We've got a...
Myers. There we go.
Myers.
Much well, better.
I was just hoping maybe there's just only one of you running around, but Ooh. Now that you're plural... There's got to be more.
Oh,
than...
no. that was mean.
I know. I'm sorry. Kind of. No, not really.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, welcome. This is a busy weekend for us today.
Oh, boy.
We have our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. So if you're hearing this and you're within driving distance, Airport Holiday Inn.
Yeah, you can listen to the radio on your way down to the Holiday Inn, okay?
Provided you're not, you know, you're not hearing this at 6 p.m. You're hearing our morning airing. Come on down, Airport Holiday Inn.
Hitchhike, fly, drive.
Definitely in Des Moines,
walk.
Obviously. And come out to the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. We got a lot of great speakers. It's going to be a great time. Brian, I have to give you kudos for Iowa State pulling out a win over Iowa last weekend.
Yeah, I was wondering if you would come out here and with your humble...
I'll eat crow a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, eat your humble pie today.
And it'll be forever the timeout that shall live in infamy.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of sweet.
But, of course, if he had made it, then it would have been like a genius move.
So. Well, yeah, and the thing of it is, there's only so much of this you can pin on Ferentz, because the way I understand it, he called for that timeout...
The ref didn't get out there in plenty of time. Yeah.
And, you know, just in that chain reaction that it takes to get out there and get the play stopped, it did not happen. I mean, a second or two would have made the difference.
Yeah.
The play never would have started. Kid wouldn't have hit the ball.
But, and who knows what would have happened in an overtime situation.
Right.
I would have said Iowa State had momentum at that point. And Iowa,
but at the end of the day, I mean, I was hearing guys talk about calling for Ferentz's head on a plate.
And I'm not a fair weather fan. I like Ferentz, but on the other hand, too, it's like when you're getting paid a gazillion dollars a year, you need to produce a little bit.
Well, he has produced a little bit,
but since he
and he
since
was 2-0 going into this game,
not impressively 2-0.
Well, exactly. You guys didn't look like Giants layers or anything, but you were 2-0, and you lost a tough game in an in-state rivalry. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, it does. It does, and hopefully, like in years past, it'll mean Iowa has a great year the rest of the season.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we have a guest on the line. I'm sure he's not really interested in Iowa State football.
Why?
Not as much. I don't know.
Everybody is,
probably because he lives in Arizona. We have Eric Stanley. He is a senior legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. He's here to talk to us about a issue with the IRS. That's shocking that there's an issue with the IRS and churches and all that. So,
really?
Eric, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be with you.
First of all, for our listeners, could you tell us what Alliance Defending Freedom does?
Yeah, we are a legal alliance, and we're dedicated to preserving religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and marriage and the family. We do that through legal strategy and training of law students and lawyers and allied attorneys and law students across the country, and then we directly litigate in these areas, too.
Great. I saw in your bio that you hold an MDiv from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary.
So. Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm one of those rare breeds of an attorney and pastor.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Thought that was an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm. So, if you have deacon board debates and stuff,
I figured that gives me a double veto, I'm not only on the theological side, but the legal side as well. So
Great. So do you do any bivocational pastoring?
Not as of yet, no. I did go back to seminary thinking that might be the case, but the legal battles that we've been facing have been keeping me busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, just a little bit busy with the Obama administration. So basically, the IRS struck a deal with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about their case, just so because our listeners may not be aware?
Yeah, absolutely. Freedom From Religion Foundation is a radical atheist group, and they filed a lawsuit against the IRS, and they claimed that the IRS was not enforcing the Johnson Amendment, which is the last sentence of Section 501c3 of the tax code, that it was not enforcing the Johnson Amendment against churches, but that it was enforcing it against other nonprofit organizations. And Freedom From Religion Foundation was claiming, well, that's unconstitutional. And the IRS settled the lawsuit with Freedom From Religion Foundation by assuring it that it actually was enforcing the Johnson Amendment against churches, and it had been all along, and that it had these new procedures in place that would allow it to continue to audit churches for violations of the Johnson Amendment. And for those that don't know, the Johnson Amendment, as I said, is the last sentence of Section 501c3 of the tax code. It basically prohibits nonprofits, including churches, from doing anything that might be construed as supporting or opposing a political candidate for office.
Yeah.
And so the IRS is saying to Freedom From Religion Foundation, oh, no, we've been enforcing this all along. We have these secret procedures in place to audit churches.
A secret procedure.
And that's
oh,
the problem.
Boy.
They are secret. They've never been made public.
Have you known of many churches that have been investigated by the IRS?
Well, the Johnson Amendment has been around for 60 years. Mm-hmm. It was passed in 1954 by Congress with no debate or analysis. It was just inserted into the tax code by Lyndon Johnson, bent on re-election. And so over the years, there's been a number of churches who have been investigated and audited by the IRS.
Okay. I'm just thinking about any recently. I know we have a pastor in Northwest Iowa, Kerry Gordon, Cornerstone World Outreach.
He's licking his chops.
He says, I want the IRS to investigate me so I can sue them all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, and that's been something that we've been trying to do since 2008. You know, we believe very strongly that the Johnson Amendment is unconstitutional, specifically as it relates to the IRS being able to censor or control what a pastor preaches from the pulpit. That's unconstitutional. The IRS has no business intruding into the pulpits of America.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have organized Pulpit Freedom Sunday since 2008. And over the years, there's been over 3,000 unique churches who participated in Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And these pastors do what Pastor Gordon has done, which is essentially preach a sermon that deals with candidates in light of Scripture and makes specific recommendations on how the congregation ought to exercise their right to vote. They record their sermons and send it off to the IRS. And if the IRS...
I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping somebody at the IRS is getting saved listening to all these sermons.
No doubt. Please. Make sure they have an altar call at the end or something. So.
Yeah, that's right. I've listened to some of these sermons, and they are very good, very gospel-heavy. And so that's a good thing. But the hope is that if the IRS chooses to come after some of these churches, that we'll file a lawsuit and seek to have the Johnson Amendment declared unconstitutional. The best way to put this is it's the job of a pastor to determine what's said from the pulpit, not the IRS, and especially given the fact that the IRS as an agency is politically motivated, it's scandal-ridden. I mean, are these the kind of people that we want to be reviewing sermons and determining whether they're acceptable or not? I don't think so.
No.
All right, Eric, I've got just a question here, and perhaps my perception is incorrect, but it strikes me that there's been an awful lot of political speech in a leftward direction from black pulpits all over the United States for decades. And I'm at a loss to know why I'm not hearing about this being a violation of that particular portion of the tax code.
Well, you're exactly right. This is a big problem. And the IRS has a very proven pattern of unequal enforcement of the Johnson Amendment for the last 60 years. I mean, essentially, the IRS is the most unaccountable, one of the most powerful federal bureaucracies out there. And they choose who they go after, when they go after them, and how they go after them. And in regard to churches, sometimes more liberal churches get a pass from the Johnson Amendment. That's been proven over time. And this is the problem, is that when you allow the government to come in and start censoring speech, and especially speech from the pulpit, then the government has the ability to choose who it will allow and who it will not. And what has been the result of this is that churches have lived under a regime of fear and intimidation of the IRS for the last 60 years. And that's got to stop. You know, we must have our churches be free to speak according to their conscience and according to what God lays on their heart, especially when it comes to the area of candidates in an election.
Sure. You know, I think we definitely could agree on that. I know there's some that might say, I'm not sure I want my pastor necessarily endorsing from the pulpit. That's a whole different discussion, but he should definitely be free to.
That's right, and that's a different question. You know, a Pulpit Freedom Sunday is not intended to really answer that question about whether churches ought to. Mm-hmm. It's intended to answer the question, who decides?
Yeah.
And right now, for the last 60 years, the federal government has made that decision for churches. It has prohibited any speech from the pulpit that would be construed as supporting or opposing a candidate. I mean, at one point, the IRS even went back and said, you know, a church could violate 501c3, the Johnson Amendment, through the use of code words. I mean, you don't even have to say vote for or vote against if you said something like vote pro-life. And that,
that
divided the candidates, that might be enough.
Oh, my.
That's insane.
This is the kind of power that the IRS has arrogated to itself over the years.
Okay. Has any church, as a result of what they've preached from the pulpit, lost their 501c3 standing?
No. And in fact, there's only been one church that has lost its IRS letter of exemption, but it never lost its status. And,
okay.
And that church was one that had actually put a full-page ad in the USA Today urging Christians not to vote for Bill Clinton, so, which is pretty across the line there.
Yeah, wow.
But here's what happens when the IRS comes after churches. One of two things. The vast majority of times, I would say probably 99% of the time, the church is so intimidated and fearful of the audit that it backs down immediately and agrees to whatever the IRS asks it. In the other times, and there's specifically a case, in fact, involving a liberal church in Pasadena, California, All Saints Episcopal Church, where they stood up and they said, no, our pastor has a right to speak freely from the pulpit. The IRS drug it through a 27-month audit. The church hired high-priced Washington, D.C. counsel to defend it, spent tens of thousands of dollars. And then after 27 months, the IRS sent the church a letter and it said, you violated the Johnson Amendment. Don't do it again. We're closing our file. And the issue never makes it to court. There's never been a federal court or state court anywhere in the country that's ever
had
the opportunity to decide if it's legal for the IRS to censor a pastor's sermon.
Because I think they don't press the issue because I think they know.
They know.
It'll be struck. At least we hope it would be struck down. I mean, well,
I think they don't press the issue, too, because they don't have to.
Yeah.
Most churches self-censor because they're not real sure where the line is between what's prohibited and what's not.
They fold up the tent. I think this whole thing is really fascinating too. As we look back at the history of the founding of this country, for better or for worse, there was an incredible amount of preaching from the pulpit in the colonial days.
The Black Road Regiment,
absolutely driving their congregations into a foment for revolution. I'm not suggesting that was always good, but it's a historical reality.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, it is, and it all of that turned on its head in 1954. And we seem to think that the Johnson Amendment and the tax code was some kind of grand bargain that churches struck with, you know, the federal government. Okay, well, you give us a tax exemption, and we'll stay out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, the opposite is true. I mean, the only reason that this law was passed, and you can go back and look at the history of it. We've got a fascinating article on pulpitfreedom.org, our website. But if you go back and look at the history of it. And this was Lyndon Johnson running for re-election to the U.S. Senate in Texas in 1954, and he passed this law specifically to silence two secular nonprofit organizations who were opposing him because they thought he was soft on communism. This was an incumbent protection act. That's all it was.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the so-called separation of church and state or the proper role of the church in society. It's a rank incumbent protection act, and it needs to go because it's unconstitutional.
Absolutely.
And there was no debate at the time about its constitutionality?
No. In fact, July 2nd, 1954, in the midst of his reelection campaign, Lyndon Johnson showed up on the floor of the Senate, and he offered this amendment to a massive tax bill that was pending at the Senate at the time. And the legislative history is literally two paragraphs long in the congressional record. And it shows that Lyndon Johnson told the Speaker of the House, I have an amendment. The sponsor of this massive bill has agreed to the amendment. The speaker called for a voice vote. It passed unanimously with a voice vote. And then it went on to conference with the House, and August 16, 1954, President Eisenhower signed it into law.
They weren't reading bills back then.
There was no debate.
Nothing has changed.
No analysis. I mean, it literally was inserted into the tax code by a powerful senator bent on doing anything that he needed to do to obtain re-election. That's all this was.
Great. So we're almost out of time this segment. When is Pulpit Freedom Sunday?
Pulpit Freedom Sunday is October 5th, 2014. You can find all the information you need, pulpitfreedom.org, and to sign up to preach on that day or around that day. And even if you can't preach, if you just agree, we want church leaders to sign an agreement statement that the IRS should not intrude into their pulpits.
Absolutely.
So that's all at pulpitfreedom.org.
Absolutely. Check out pulpitfreedom.org. If you are not a pastor, you know, make sure your pastor is aware of this opportunity. Anyway, so thank you so much, Eric, for coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks
a
lot, Eric.
This has been fascinating, and definitely, I mean, the thing to remember is the IRS, the feds should not dictate to the church what they preach about. That's between the, you know, it's the church is supposed to be the prophet for the country, and unfortunately, the IRS has silenced our voice, or we have allowed the IRS to silence our voice, so it's time to
well,
take
and this
that
is going to be
back.
Much much more critical as time goes on with this whole notion of gay marriage and hate speech.
Absolutely. I also want to encourage people to remember that we got Pulpit Freedom Sunday, October 5th, but really every Sunday is Pulpit Freedom Sunday.
So, absolutely.
So never, you should never be afraid to preach the truth.
Thanks again, Eric.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 9 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by American Principles Project, Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force. Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, who's to my right doing air drums once again. And I still promise I'm going to get a video of that one of these days, because our listeners need to see this.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And
whatever.
I'll get it done. So anyway, on our line, we have Allison Howard. She's Communications Director with Concerned Women for America. We want to talk with her about this recent GAO, that's a Governmental Accountability Office, report that said, oh, hey, yeah, Obamacare does pay for abortions. Allison, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So is this report really any surprise?
Well, it should be. You know, the president said in 2009 and issued an executive order in 2010 that said that under his health care plan, no federal dollars would be used to fund abortion. And that's a direct quote. Now, why did he do that? Well, because it was the only way for him to get his health care law through.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of conservative Democrats were concerned about federal funding of abortion, and so were we.
You just shot off an oxymoron, conservative Democrats. Is there really such a thing anymore?
Conservative as they can be.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, because I remember the debate because there were some that were concerned about, and that's generally one item that we used to be able to have some bipartisan opposition against would be taxpayer funding of abortions.
Well, I'm trying to remember who it was that he bought their vote with.
Well,
with
Stenick.
Is that who it was?
Yeah,
okay.
Bart Stenick, who ended up, you know, not running for re-election again because he was probably going to get beat. But yeah, you had
right,
go ahead.
This was a point of general consensus among Americans. You're right. It was a left-right issue. No matter your political persuasion or your stance on abortion, you could agree on the fact that it's not right for taxpayer dollars to be used to fund abortion, to force people to fund something they're morally or religiously against with their own tax dollars. So the Government Accountability Office revealed this week that over 1,000 plans on the exchange fund abortion. They also revealed that the disclosure of whether your plan covers abortion is inconsistent at best,
mm-hmm.
and that true transparency was really lacking here. And so the president shockingly failed to uphold his own promise and abandoned the very thing that enabled him to get the health care legislation through.
Shockingly. Shockingly.
I just come to expect President Obama to backtrack and break his promises anymore. I'm shocked when he doesn't, actually.
I think we've become cynical, sir.
I think so. Now, what does Obamacare actually, what does the law stipulate about the disclosure to consumers about funding abortion?
Sure. So thanks to language by Bill Nelson, a Democrat, the easiest way to describe it is that the infrastructure was to be set up so you essentially write two checks. If you received a government subsidy for your health insurance, you would then have to write a separate check for the coverage of abortion. That would be at least a dollar surcharge, about $12 a year is what they said,
mm-hmm.
To separate tax dollars from your own. And what I found interesting in looking at this report is that 85% of people that got on the exchange in the last enrollment period were receiving subsidies. So 85% of Americans are receiving taxpayer dollars to help pay for their health insurance plans mm-hmm. that they were promised they could keep a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now those funds are being used to subsidize abortion, which people across the board have agreed to for a long time, and thanks to the Hyde Amendment, has been a law since the 70s, that we would not partake in that. And so it really attacks your not only freedom of conscience, but your freedom of association, and that you know where your money is going and how it's being spent.
Yeah, it's not a small drop of change that's being spent on these subsidies. GAO estimated between 2015 and 2014 that $726 billion. Oh, what's a billion between a couple, friends?
Say that again. You're almost three quarters of a trillion dollars. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly, on subsidies. So I don't know what percentage of that would be for, if we're continuing seeing taxpayer subsidy money going towards abortion coverage.
Sure.
I don't know what that would be.
Yeah.
Not nearly that much, but it's still going to add up to being quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I didn't realize in 1 year that we were invested in subsidies to that degree. Wow.
So, what did GAO make any recommendations?
Well, the funny response from the president at HHS is, "Well, we'll look into it. Thanks for the information, and we'll make sure that they're complying with the law." Well, that's supposed to happen a long time before an independent watchdog group looks into the accounting offerings of your exchanges and sees these kind of failings. And so, to me, it's just another empty broken promise.
Sure.
As a young person who knows that the Affordable Care Act was placed on the back of my generation to fund his broken promise moving forward, it breaks my heart to see people around me not only lose their health care coverage and be forced onto the exchanges, where now they don't even know what they're paying for until after they purchase it. But it also breaks my heart that I have people calling my office saying, does my plan cover abortion? And we've gone on and we will look, and we've called, and they don't know. Mm. The infrastructure was not there, and the president and his administration moved forward with not just a glitchy website,
yeah,
but a completely broken system for the American people to try and maneuver.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I'm sure when Congress goes...
You're going to have to play a moral Russian roulette here to figure out if your plan is something that you even want or use or can religiously abide by.
Sure. I'm sure when Congress goes to investigate this, probably the person responsible, their hard drives will suddenly be missing. So. They'll look into it, yeah.
But, you know, Allison made a great point there. I remember all the hubbub when the website didn't operate correctly there, and, uh-huh. and everybody said what a disaster was.
And it was. But
politically, it was a great moment for the Republicans because it was right after the government shutdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just took that issue completely away from the Democrats. However, it was really stupid from the get-go because you knew sooner or later somebody was going to fix the website.
Exactly.
That was not the substantial problem with Obamacare. It was not the website.
That was just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. So you guys have something else going on here coming up soon, and I got to open that up in front of me so I can see. You have the Stand With Israel rally with Mike Huckabee. When's that happening?
We do. We're so excited. It'll be Sunday, October 5th. From 2 to 4 p.m. here in Washington, D.C., a great opportunity for Americans of all backgrounds mm-hmm. to come together and say, look, we stand with our sister, our friend, our ally, Israel, and her right to defend herself. And that all came about after the most recent conflict that we saw going on. And we've gotten great response. We've confirmed CUFI as a partner. We've got Eric Stackelbeck joining us. We have members of the Israeli embassy joining us. It'll be a great day, and it's a free event, so it's free for me. We love it. So all are invited.
Great. Is there going to be any type of streaming online for us Iowans who may not be able to make the trip out to D.C.?
Yeah, we're sure going to work on it. We'd love to stream it, maybe have C-SPAN cover it if we can. So I'll keep you guys updated. You guys can let your audience know, but all that information is at rallyforisrael.com. We set up so people can join in and see what's going on.
Great. So just, I know standing with Israel is one of the core issues for Concerned Women for America. Why should people stand up for Israel? Just to throw the general question out there.
No, it's a great question. And it's something I think a lot of people are asking and have been asking as we saw everything unfold the past couple months. I was supposed to go to Israel. Some colleagues of mine went to Israel. And it's so interesting to hear from them once they see the demographics and for me to kind of study it. Like, you know, if New Jersey was launching rockets at New York, New York would have an ability to defend itself. But for the amount of rockets fired at Israel, which has been 15,000 rockets from Hamas since 2001, the fact that when Israel returns fire to defend itself, it gets so much flack in our media.
It does,
and finds in the United States of America, anti-Israel movements, a boycott, divest, and sanction movements happening on college campuses all over. We know that as Christians we're called to protect Israel, but we also know that from a national security point, they're our ally in the area, and that we, thank goodness, our Congress has agreed to fund the Iron Dome, mm-hmm. but we need to make sure that Israel knows that we will stand with her at such a time as this. And yes. I have to add on here, that Palestinians that are being occupied by Hamas right now, there's innocent children and civilians over there, and we will stand up for them as well against the threat of terrorism.
Absolutely. When you mentioned Iron Dome, I remember Mike Huckabee, actually, when he was out in Iowa in August, he shared a story about how the dome failed, and he had this rocket about ready to hit Tel Aviv, and suddenly there was this, I don't know, breeze or something that just carried mm-hmm. the rocket.
Took it off course
and out in the sea, and just how it's like God's hand just kind of pushed, you know, this rocket out. And it's just, I know there's been stories like that. So we have this rally. Then what? What happens after that?
Sure. Well, Concerned Women for America most recently took on support for Israel as our seventh core issue. And with that, it's really opened up a lot of doors for us as women and like-minded men. we like to joke that we're the only women's organization that actually likes men.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
And we appreciate you guys to really gather hands with other community leaders, pro-Israel leaders, and work on legislation that helps Israel, but also to continue to educate and inform. We have a lot going on college campuses, like I said, and our Young Women for America chapters are our kind of college version of CWA, and they are seeing this on their college campuses. So we want to equip them, inform them to lead a thoughtful dialogue with their peers, and get them here to DC on that day.
Yeah,
to join
yeah.
in, to listen, to learn about what we are called to do as Americans, the precedent that's set for us, and what's the best for our people as well as their people and innocent civilians. So it's been really fun, and I'm really eager to see where the Lord takes us in future projects. But this is just something that's so pivotal right now. Our founder is Beverly LaHaye, who is the wife of Dr. Tim LaHaye, author of the Left Behind series and so many other books. And I got a chance to ask him, what do you think is the most pressing issue right now for us as a country? And he said, support for Israel. He felt like that was something that we needed to keep a special eye on, particularly the biblical call and the national security call of what it means when we desert our friends in the area. And so I thought that was really, really monumental statement from him.
Well, Allison, I've never been able to understand the attraction, I guess, that you see amongst some young evangelicals towards support for the Palestinian movement. I mean, I'm not suggesting that they're all radicalized, but I remember seeing the video of dancing in the street on 9/11. These folks don't like America, and we have a strategic alliance with Israel. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of compelling reasons for the United States to continue to support them, and I see an awful lot of radicalized elements in Islam, in general, and in the Middle East in specific, and certainly Hamas and Hezbollah, as far as I'm concerned, are terrorist groups that are under that rubric of militant Islam.
But, hey, you know, don't worry. Islamic State is not Islamic.
Don't get me started. Do not get me started.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know there is a modern Muslim voice, but unfortunately, they're the ones that are pretty silent right now. So where can we learn more? Okay, you got standforisrael.org or .com.
It's rallyforisrael.com.
Oh, rallyforisrael.com. Okay. Where can people learn more about CWA?
Sure. So concernedwomen.org, you can sign up for our e-alerts, for updates from us, and also, you know, on Facebook and Twitter, we're constantly taking pictures from the road. We're here in D.C., but we have grassroots chapters across the country that are working really hard in their states
on different issues. You have a fireball in Iowa with Tamara Scott. We appreciate her. So
we do, and we love her. She's working so hard.
Great. Well, I thank you so much for coming on, talking about this issue with us.
Thank you, Allison. It's
very important. And
thank you, guys.
I'm intrigued. Just quick question. How many chapters do you have that Young Women for America?
Sure. I think we have about 30 across the country right now and a goal of 50 in the next year. We've got tons of prospects reaching out. So if you guys or anyone listening knows of young women, little Esthers on their college campuses that want to step up, we'd love to have them.
Great. This is Captain Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
This is Shane Vanderhaar, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 9 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by American Principles Project, Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhaar, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st and enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Brian Myers with Shane Vanderhart. And we have here in the studio with us a special guest. We've got Jeff George from Providence Industrial Electronics Repair. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Brian. Shane, thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, very welcome. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Jeff is a special guest for a couple of different reasons. Number one, his company, is a sponsor of the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing.
And we really appreciate that.
We're very, very excited about the briefing. We're glad to help.
Yeah, and something else, of course, that we want to get out there is the fact that you're from North Carolina, and you happen to be a good friend of Stu Epperson, who's the owner of KTIA and the entirety of the Truth Network. And you've known him, like, for years.
That's right. My family was friends with Stu's family back in the early 80s. In fact, his father and my father and another gentleman actually were the core group of a church startup, a missionary plant.
So there were three of them that kind of were the pillars of the charter membership, you might say?
That's right. That's right. And I've remained friends with Stu throughout all these years.
Now, was that a Baptist church, an independent church? Or
I believe it was independent, yes.
Okay. And then did you guys go to high school together? Or?
No, we did not. But can I say that his sister and my brother dated? Can I say that on the
line? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That'll get past the censors.
So, okay. Yeah. So, yes, I've seen a lot of Stu through the years. Thanks mostly maybe perhaps to my brother.
Okay. All right.
The better-looking sibling in my family.
So. Yeah, you told me the other day that the only reason you had any friends was because everybody was hanging out with your brother and sister. I know that's not true, buddy. But
That's what I tell people, that I was very excited when my older brother graduated from high school, because I thought I'd no longer be David's younger brother. But after that, I became Jeremy's older brother. So.
You can't win for losing.
Right.
And then, so tell us a little bit about Providence Industrial Electronics Repair. I'm fortunate enough that my company represents your company out in the field, but tell our listeners what it is that your company does.
Certainly. Providence has been around for almost 14 years now, and we are an industrial electronics repair facility. We repair all kinds of manufacturing electronics. Our niche in the market is that we repair the hardest to repair industrial electronics. In fact, one unique thing about Providence is a lot of our customers are our competitors. We do a lot of work for other repair facilities. They send us the things that they're unable to repair. And now, over the last 3 years, thanks to Myers & Associates.
Who are those guys?
Yeah, well,
never mind.
Well, I won't answer that. Thanks to Myers & Associates, we're now marketing ourselves to distributors, which has been fantastic. We love our distributor customers.
And then you guys were always the ones that got stuck with the obsolete stuff, the stuff that nobody had ever heard of and that you couldn't get parts for. And somehow or other, you guys were able to fix that.
That's right. We cut our teeth on the hardest to repair industrial electronics. And over the years, we have become the best industrial electronics repair facility when it comes to these difficult units.
Did you start the company?
Yes, I did. I was an engineer for one of the largest industrial electronics repair facilities in the world, and they were having difficulties with their outsource vendors, where larger repair facilities tend to send a lot of work out to other vendors, and they were having difficult time with turnaround time, pricing, warranties. And so this large industrial electronics facility actually helped me start Providence to help solve their problems. And then over the years, we just grew from repair facility to repair facility to repair facility as customers.
And then you guys have kind of an interesting way, you know, it's not just a motto, but it's a way you approach business. And you've got a little tagline that you put out with all of your emails. It's the glory of God.
That's correct. Right. If you would suggest anyone go that's interested in learning about Providence Industrial to just go to www.providenceindustrial.com if you want to learn about the company.
And you guys have always, from day one, attempted to do your business in such a fashion as we give God glory.
That's correct. Yes. That is our chief end as men. And I wanted that to be the main goal of the company also.
And is the name of your company, was that based off Providence of God, or is that something geographical?
Well, we have had a few people ask us if we're from Rhode Island, but that's definitely – I'll tell you what it is. It is a reminder to me. When I started the company, I knew that it was all God's providence, because the story behind the company, I don't have time to tell you, but it's a very good story. And it was to be a reminder to me that if we did grow and become successful, that it would be a reminder to me that it was God's providence.
It's pretty funny, too, because I was just in Rhode Island a couple of weeks ago, and Mike Lives and I were out making sales calls all through New England. And every time we said we represented Providence Industrial Electronics Repair and that Michael was from Rhode Island, you know, for them it was a no-brainer. They just assumed that's where the plant was. And they were saying, when we were telling them, no, it's actually in North Carolina, they didn't seem to compute there. But, Jeff, thanks an awful lot for coming on the radio with us today and telling us a little bit about your company. And, of course, thank you very much for your sponsorship of the Caffeinated Thoughts Briefing.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for having me on the radio program.
Great. And just a little rundown of news for this segment, and we'll probably continue in the next segment. Immigration Worker Union warns that serious threat of ISIS entering U.S. and other news that should not surprise you. No, seriously. This makes me think about the whole issue with America, these Americans involved with ISIS and retaining their passports as well.
Yeah, there's supposed to be, like, at any one time there's supposed to be like 12 American citizens in ISIS.
Yeah,
I saw that on
yeah,
TV.
And there's up to 100 that are fighting with different rebel groups in Syria. And there's this debate. Well, actually, shouldn't be. I don't think it's really much of a debate, because I think there's actually consensus, unless you're Stacey Apple, about what to do with these passports, because they do represent a serious national security threat. Because Americans could, you know, literally come through, you know, to Mexico. They don't necessarily have to fly into the United States, because I imagine some of them are probably on a no-fly list, I would hope.
They can get over there on a freighter.
Yeah, they can come into Mexico. They can come up through the border. They have a passport. They can get in, you know, unfortunately, a little too easily, or they can put their passport out to be used by somebody else if you find somebody who could swap out pictures and all that. I mean,
this is another legitimate problem that we have with the immigration debate.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not all about racism. There are some legitimate questions that, regardless of how you feel about our immigration policy, these are legitimate questions that we have to deal with. We've got a sieve for a border.
We do.
Down in Texas. And we've got these guys here who want to blow up the world if there's a somebody from the West in general, and someone who's an American citizen in specific. If there's somebody they can blow up, they want to blow them up. And they can come across that border just as easily as anybody else.
Exactly. But you know what? Don't worry, United States, because Islamic State is not Islam. So
words fail me. This is supposed that's to be the leader from, of the free world saying something that stupid.
That's straight from the Islam apologist in chief. Anyway, I didn't realize Barack Obama was a expert on what is and what is not Islam.
Forgive me. And I know he's the president of the United States, and I try to have some restraint and show some respect to the guy. I really want to know, what is he an expert in? Seriously.
What? Not the Constitution.
Precisely. The guy's supposed to be a professor on Constitution.
I don't... I would, if I were a University of Chicago student, I'd be asking for a refund. if I had one of his classes.
I know there's probably people out there thinking that these guys are just partisan hacks.
We are.
Well,
I admit it. Guilty as charged.
This guy gives us plenty of reason.
He does. And more to come. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 9 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by American Principles Project, Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2648, and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome back. This is our last segment. It's been a great show so far, but we wanted to touch base on one news piece that we were not able to get to last segment, and that is the Iowa Supreme Court this week put a stay. I have to use my terminology correct here, because they did not reverse the previous judge's ruling who ruled in favor of the Iowa Board of Medicine. Instead, they just basically placed a stay. The rule was going to go into effect yesterday, actually Thursday. So they placed a stay on it until they can actually decide. But it's still...
So how far out are we?
I have no idea. The decision, they haven't actually released the decision. Nobody's been able to, at least I haven't been able to read it. I'm sure the lawyers have been able to read it, but they haven't had it on their website yet. So I contacted Jennifer Bowen, Iowa Right to Life, and she hasn't.
She hasn't seen it either.
Yeah, she hasn't seen it either. She was going to email it to me when she received it. But basically, the long and short of it is the rule was supposed to go into effect this week, but because of this action by the Iowa Supreme Court, we still have do-it-yourself abortions in the state of Iowa.
So I take it that you're pretty well convinced that they're going to keep merrily on with this practice and until...
Well, the lower court decision surprised me based on the language I heard in the stay that was originally issued in that case. I thought they were going to decide against the Iowa board, and they didn't end up doing that. So who knows? It's unfortunate they felt like they needed a place to stay on that previous judge's order, but...
Real quickly, Shane, where do you see this when it does go to the Iowa Supreme Court? How do you think it's going to shake out?
I hope they rule in favor of Iowa Board of Medicine. Based on everything else they decided, I'd be shocked if they did, though.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, you have a special lecture after your church service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, we're looking forward to the worship service at Trinity. Reverend Erickson's going to be preaching on a Christian worldview, which is an issue that's...
What's that?
Well, it's an issue that's near and dear to his heart. He's got multiple advanced degrees. He's got a couple of degrees in philosophy. So, I mean, these are kinds of things that... You know, he's written about and studied hard, so I'm looking forward to his sermon there. That will be followed up by Dr. James Wanless, who will be visiting the lecture for one of the Q&A panels
at the
conference
today.
Sorry, and then he'll be lecturing after the worship service, and he's also going to be dovetailing his remarks to Mr. Erickson's in the sermon. There's also, he's told me, there's also, a PowerPoint presentation that goes along with it that's supposed to be pretty powerful.
Which, so Brian's being low-tech, he's kind of freaked out. It's like, PowerPoint, what's that?
Yeah, thanks, pal. We did have to do a little bit of a mad scramble to get the projecting equipment, yeah. But Jeff George took care of that. So,
hey, thank you, Jeff. And Dr. Wanless, if you're not familiar with who he is, he's a... one of the spokespeople for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Senior fellow, that's the exact title. And then he also is an associate professor of physics at Presbyterian College in South Carolina. And he's got a slew of degrees and a very smart guy.
Yeah, and then Dr. Beisner will be at church there as well. And yep. I don't know if the two of them together then would have some Q&A after Dr. Wendless's lecture or not. But I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a great time.
And we've interviewed them both on the Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. So go to caffeinatedthoughts.com, check out the archive, and look for Calvin Beisner and James Wanless's interview.
Church starts at 9:30. We meet at the Johnston Lions Club on Merle Hay Road in Johnston. It's a really nice facility. There's tons of room, and we look forward to having everybody come.
Quote of the day, Christians are right. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. That's by C.S. Lewis. Thanks for listening. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
See you, everybody.
See you next week.